But someone may ask, how are the same race? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish! How your son does not come to life unless he dies. When you die, we did not plan the body there will be, but just a seed, perhaps a wheat or something else. All flesh are not the same. Man has one kind of flesh, animal has another, birds another, and the fish another. And there are also heavenly body, and there are the earthly body. The heavenly body has one kind of splendor, and the earthly body has another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon has another, and the stars and another. And the stars differ from stars in splendor. So, will you be with the resurrection of the dead? The body that is sown is perishable, if it is raised, it is raised imperishable. Will they come? Some people were eaten by wild beasts and digested. Fire and become nothing more than ashes. When we die, our body decays naturally and dissolves back to the dust of the ground. When it is gone, how can it be raised again? This question seems to be reasonable to ask because it is hard to imagine this. How did they raise? With what kind of body will they come? Then, what is Paul's response to this question? How foolish! If you think what these people ask is reasonable, then you are foolish. Why did Paul say that the person who asked this question is foolish? He said in verse 36, what you saw does not come to life unless it dies. Paul explained that the process of resurrection is something natural. It is just like a seed that becomes a tree. Unless the seed dies, a tree cannot come out. A seed and a tree does not look alike. They are totally two different things. But a tree comes from a seed, and a seed must die first in order to become a tree. Nature demonstrates this concept of resurrection. Paul said in verse 37, what you saw, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed. Our body on this earth cannot last forever. It falls to the ground and decays. Then it becomes a dust and returns to the ground. But from the dust of the ground, God will raise up our bodies and become the upgrade body. It is just like how a seed transfers into a tree. It is the same life, only it is completely different and upgraded from the original. The principle of resurrection is not something new. But it is something common which we see every day. Is there any relationship between a seed and a tree, or a caterpillar with a butterfly hourly? No, not at all. A seed is so tiny, but when it dies, it becomes a big tree. An ugly caterpillar. An ugly caterpillar crawls on the ground. Then it becomes a beautiful butterfly that flies in the sky. When they all from die, they are transferred into something that is completely different from their original life. This is the concept of resurrection, which the nature demonstrated all the time, and which we are so familiar with. We never raise a question about when the small black seed, when you plant it and its fruit is gone and becomes a plant that produces 10 gigantic watermelons. Our body must go through death first so that we can receive a new life and a new body. That is completely different from our original life. God teaches us that the nature of resurrection in our daily life, a caterpillar becomes a beautiful butterfly, a tiny seed becomes a big tree. If this happens, why do you think it is nonsense for you to receive a glorious resurrection body? The principle of resurrection is not a secret. Indeed, those truths have been revealed to us. But many people choose to ignore it and do not believe. Therefore, the truth about resurrection remains hidden to them. Then, what kind of body will we receive? And why do we need this resurrection body? And why do we need to put our hope in this body? Paul said to us in verse 38 and 39, but God giving the body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed he gave his own body. All flesh is not the same. Man has one kind of flesh, and man has another. Birds another, and fish another. Man has one kind of flesh. We have brain, which enable us to think and be very creative. God give us this body so that we can fulfill God's creation purpose, which is be rulers and pioneers of the world. Animals have another kind of body to fulfill God's creation purpose as well. Birds born are hollow, so they are light and can fly so high. Their flesh is very unique. Fish have another kind of body that can fulfill God's creation purpose to live underwater. They have gills to exchange oxygen underwater and have wings to swim around freely. Each creature has a unique body that enables them to live in the environments that God assigned them to live. So why does Paul suddenly talk about all these things, such as man's body, bird's body, other than animal's body, splendor and glory? The point that Apostle Paul is trying to make here is that God gives each of his creatures a suitable body so that they may live and be fruitful in their appropriate environment. We have a body that we use to live in this world to fulfill God's creation purpose. But with this kind of body, we cannot live in the kingdom of God and reign with God forever. The body we have now is a body that is only suitable for this world, but it is not suitable for the kingdom of God. Here, Paul proved that the resurrection must be, and there must be the changed resurrection body, so that we can have a fellowship with God and live with Him. When the time has come, God will give us a body that is suitable for His kingdom. In verse 42, he said, "So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. When we resurrect from the dead, our old life and sin will be gone. Then we'll have a new body, and that is so strong, and is able to co-work with our spiritual desire, that is to love God, to serve God, with all our heart, all our mind, and all our soul." The truth of resurrection is that it must be, and the resurrection will be full of glory and splendor of God. This body fits us perfectly to live and reign together with Jesus Christ forever.
Amen.
I was now raised in a Christian family, and I really not familiar with the terms resurrection and eternal life. But I remember a long time ago, a Christian person trying to convince me to be a Christian. She asked me this question: Don't you want eternal life? Believe in Jesus, then you have eternal life. But I have this question, so I asked her, why do you want to have eternal life? Her eyes opened wide, and she looked at me as if I just said something terrible. Maybe it is something terrible that I should never have spoken about. But I just did not understand why people are desperately looking for eternal life. Is the life here on this earth too harsh? And too hard and terrible? Why do I want to spend it and even have it forever? Why do I want to come back to life to enjoy more suffering? A long time ago, I really believed that death is a gift from God. We finally do not suffer anymore and we have peace. And also, some other people who believe in reincarnation ask me, how do you want to be in your next life? But I really want to say, you know, this life is hard already. Why do I want to continue more suffering again? I eventually told others about what was in my mind, and I only get this answer: those who do not believe in eternal life and resurrection are fools. And people refuse to give me more answers. I don't know if they really think that I'm just a fool or they just cannot answer me. Because of that, I used to dislike Christians a lot. And it is hard for me to imagine that one day I'll actually go to church and study the Bible like right now. But even after I study the Bible, I still do not understand the concept of resurrection and the eternal life. But in this passage, Apostle Paul makes his point very clear. People who ask this question are foolish. Apostle Paul give a very reasonable answer as well. He cannot just rebuke me like other people. Instead, he gave me a clear explanation. Through this passage, I finally felt that I start to grasp a little bit about having resurrection faith and why it is a foolish question to ask. The reason that I do not understand this is because I have a really humanistic understanding about eternal life and resurrection. I saw that eternal life and resurrection come from the same old person, meaning my old self, the boring life. The life on this earth for me is really hard already, and continue this life for eternity would be too harsh, and I don't want the eternal life like this. But Paul here showed us, with this kind of body, the body we have on this earth, we cannot seek eternal life and have resurrection faith. Apostle Paul really opened my eyes. He teached me that why do we struggle through all these things, even gain to conflict with our loved ones, because we recognize God and His power and want to serve Him and live in His kingdom. It is because we have a desire to serve God forever, not because of a human desire to live forever. But with our earthly flesh, it is impossible. It is only possible with the resurrection body. When we have our resurrection body, we will naturally have desire to love God, to serve God. If there's no resurrection, then our struggle in this world is useless, foolish, and even pitiful. We struggle hard while others enjoy the life and have fun. If we do not have resurrection faith, what are we doing? Christian must have resurrection faith. With this faith, I know that all I do is not in vain, and I can have this hope in the kingdom of God. With this hope, I can have a clear direction of what I'm supposed to do in this life. And this clear direction that God gives me is that I should be a shepherd to teach the Bible, to serve college students. I never imagined that one day I'll become a Bible teacher, but God has shown me His grace and given me this great chance to serve His work. Each day after I work, I struggle to go back to CSUB campus to find students. But each day I receive rejection after rejection, and my heart becomes fearful and doubtful. My mom once told me, "There's no way you'll get any students this way." My Christian cousins and friends say I'm dead. Each day there are many rejections, or even if I get a student, they only want to study one time or two times and then never show up again. Each day after the painful failure in fishing, I ask myself this question, "What am I doing here? There's nobody wants to study the Bible, and I'm just wasting my time here." But at this time, I remember the teaching in Psalm 56:8. He said, "You keep track of my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your Bible. You have recorded each one of your book." God remembers and records all my struggles, and surely my hard work is not in vain. Maybe in my friends and my family eyes, my labor is in vain. But with the resurrection faith, I know that for sure they are carrying meaning and purpose in God's eyes. I am not working hard to chase after the empty dream, but a kingdom that God has revealed to me. With this hope in the resurrection, I will serve God's kingdom, work wholeheartedly. One word, how foolish, how your soul does not come to life on this side.